Welcome back to the Fantasy Hockey Podcast. Another good Wednesday. We actually get intro music today because we didn't suck on Monday. Well, maybe a little bit. No. I think we did okay.
Can't tell yet, anyway.
Can't tell yet, at least. But today we're going to give you our unsustainable calls and sustainable calls. Go over last week's as well because we actually have things to review, which is good. So I'll jump right into it because you guys already know how this all works. I'll start with my last week unsustainably high calls. I called out Jake Gardner, and that didn't really work out. Actually, we're not going to get, man, with these picks, we're not going to get intro music on Friday either. Jake Gardner, 4 games played, 4 assists, +4, 4 points, 4 pims, 10 shots on goal, 2 hits, and 5 blocks. Yeah, that's okay. And then next up, Sam Reinhart, 3 games played, 3 assists, -1, 2 power play points, and 6 shots on goal. That's okay, too. Man, this is bad. Yep. Eric Johnson, 3 games played, +1, 2 pims, 9 shots on goal, 8 hits and 6 blocks. Good peripherals there. Just as expected, his points have come down significantly.
Yep. For me, I started off with Adam Henrique, who was doing, had like 8 points in 6 games in the previous week, or previous 2 weeks, I guess, because we had that All-Star break. But since then, 4 games played, 1 goal, -2, 2 pims, 5 shots, 1 game winner, 3 hits and 5 blocks. So he's, I would expect him to be like a 40-point pace guy, being on a third-line top power play weird situation. His line mates are not that great, although I do like Cache, but they're not, just not going to get the minutes. Next up, Alexander Steen. He also had 8 points in 6 games. And then this last week, he had 3 games played, 1 assist, +1, 6 shots, 4 hits, and 5 blocks, which is closer to what I expect. I do like his line with Schwartz and Shen at the moment, but... I don't know what to expect with Steen. I think he's a better option than Henrique, but there's just better options than him on your waiver wire, most likely, unless you're in a deep league.
Yep.
And then lastly here, Ryan Pulock. He had 6 points in 6 games, and I was like, that's going to slow down because he's not really, he doesn't have top power play, and the Islanders' second power play is kind of mediocre. And he doesn't get a ton of minutes. Well, in the last game, he got 22 minutes. He's still playing the second power play, so he's still not getting great power play time or opportunities. But he put up another 3 points in 3 games with a goal, 2 assists, a +3, 9 shots, 6 hits, and 9 blocks. He's starting to look interesting, actually, but I still wouldn't touch him. In a deep enough league, I probably would, but
yeah.
At the moment, I would still leave him alone. I want to see him get consistently above 20 minutes. It's only happened 1 game so far, although it was nicely above at 22. Probably has something to do with Mayfield going out in that game. In fact, yep. Definitely has something to do with Mayfield going out in that game. So we'll see what his deployment is on Thursday. Or they play tonight?
Thursday.
They play Thursday, yeah. So Thursday, keep an eye, see if they play him more than 20 minutes. If they do, it's probably a decent sign rest of season because it looks like Mayfield's going to be possibly done for the season, at least done for the fantasy season. And if he gets, obviously, if he gets more top power play time, even better. But
we'll see. I mean, Pulock really passed the eye test for me, at least, when we were at that game in, against Nashville. He looked really, really good. He's got a crazy shot. Yeah, and he looked very confident, which is the thing that I told Matt, who I was sitting next to. I was like, I think that as far as from a fantasy eye test perspective, the dude was just bleeding confidence, which is good because I think that's good signs of things to come. But, yeah, like you said, I think it's a little too early. So you get, based on those picks, you get intro music. Me, not so much. last week's unsustainably low guys, I said Jordan Oesterle just because he was his plus minus was so high. And this week he had 3 games played, 1 assist, a -3, 1 power play point, 4 shots on goal, 2 hits, and 15 blocks. So, okay, not really a comeback to life sort of thing yet. But these two guys did. Sean Monahan, 3 games played, 3 goals, 1 assist, +3, 14 shots on goal, and 4 hits. Much more like it for Monahan. Obviously, I think more than a point per game is somewhat sustainable for him. He is that good, and he has that good of line mates. But I think he's right there. Shane Ghost
Despair. Those are streaky in general.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, when he's hot, he's hot. Shane Ghost Despair, 4 games played. I know it's Ghost Despair, but I like call him Ghost Bear. 4 games played, 1 goal, 3 assists, a +5, 1 power play point, 11 shots on goal, 4 hits, and 10 blocks. A great week from him. Point per game is totally doable, I think, for him.
Yep. So my calls went pretty badly. Started off with Derek Brassard, who I feel like could have been on this list pretty much. If you compare peripherals to point production, could have been on this list almost every week, as he gets plenty of shots and just doesn't seem to get any points. Same thing happened again. So three games played, he had one goal, eight shots, five hits, and one block. So that's fine to get a goal and eight shots. That's about what you'd expect. That's actually maybe even a little high. But he just doesn't get any assists, which just seems strange to me. Anyway, next up, Evander Kane. I figured this would be the week turned it around. Didn't happen. Three games played, no points, minus one. He got 19 PIMs, so there's that. Seven shots and three hits. And then last up here, Chris Letang. Three games played, one assist, minus five, four PIMs, six shots, one power play point, five hits, and three blocks. So he also did not really turn anything around. I don't really know what's going on with Letang at the moment, but I wouldn't be too worried if I owned him, which I don't, but pretty annoying.
Yep. Just a little bit. That Evander Kane one is shocking.
Yeah.
It's just nuts. The guy cannot get a puck in the net. He just has no puck luck right now. And that's not good for Buffalo, who wants a very, very high return for him. For last week's sustainably high guys, who we said you should probably pick up or at least keep an eye on, my first one is Tomas Hertl. Four games played, two assists, minus one, one power play point, four shots on goal, and three blocks. Those peripherals are absolute garbage, but the assists are nice. For Travis Konecny, four games played, one goal, two assists, plus two, two PIMs, 10 shots on goal, 13 hits, and one block. I am very happy to own Travis Konecny, especially with how low owned he is. He's pretty much grabbable in almost every league, unless you're in a very active league. Probably regardless of size, there's a good chance he might be gone. And then lastly here, Justin Williams, four games played, one assist, eight shots on goal, two hits, and three blocks. That one I did not get right.
So for me, I started out with Jonathan Marchessault, who was point per game the previous week and continued to be. Four games played, one goal, three assists, plus one, 10 shots, two power play points, and three hits. This is mostly because people didn't really know what to expect from him for the rest of the season. I think a lot of people were worried that he was just not going to... Come on, Kat, stop it. That he was just not going to like continue to produce and just be like a streaky player. But I think he's going to be consistent at about a point per game pace. And then next up here, Pavel Buchnevich. He's just didn't even get to finish a game after I called him out. So don't really know if he's going to be sustainably high or not. And then last up here, Evgeny Dadonov. Three games played, he had one assist and 10 shots. Kind of nothing else there. It doesn't really say much, but the 10 shots is nice. He's still on a good line. I'm not worried about him.
Yeah, that's why I picked him up. I like the shots on goal, even though the points aren't 100% there. And the line, like you said, the line is the biggest thing. If he's on that top line with Barkov and Huberto or Bjugstad, I'm fine with it. And the top power play. But for last week's sustainably low, I said Sami Vatanen first. Three games played, one assist, a plus two, one power play point, four shots on goal, eight hits, and two blocks. At right where I expect him, honestly. I'm not high on Vatanen. Clayton Keller, who is still around 65-ish% owned, kind of nuts to me. Three games played, a minus three, two PIMs, and only four shots on goal. That was what I said, I think, last week, was that the big, most concerning thing to me about Clayton Keller is he's not shooting as much anymore either, and that trend is continuing. And lastly here, Brent Seabrook, three games played, one assist, minus four, two PIMs, one power play point, three shots on goal, four hits, and one block.
Yep. For me, Mikhail Sergachev is my first call out. He's still like 80% owned. Yep. Three games played, one assist, minus two, six shots, two hits, and four blocks. Hedman's back. Yeah, you know, that's kind of what I expected. He had a crazy start of the season for reasons I still couldn't quite understand. Then he got like that promotion with Hedman out, and then he got demoted back to the second power play. I don't even know if he's on the power play, actually. He was scratched a couple times. Yeah, I'm not high on him for the rest of the season.
Yep.
Next up, Andrei Burakovsky, who I haven't been high on the whole time. Four games played, one goal, one assist, minus two, 10 shots, one power play point, five hits, and one block. It's pretty much about where I'd expect him. The shots are, I would actually expect him to get two or less shots a game, but
yep.
He could get more. I don't know.
Yep.
Then next up here, TJ Brody. This one went poorly. In three games played, he had five assists. I guess. Plus three, 8 shots, 2 hits, and 5 blocks. So those are all even strength. Thanks.
That was the worst one of the week, I think. For sustainably low. Okay, and moving on to this week's calls. We'll start with our unsustainably high. I'll start with Kevin Fiala, who's getting picked up like mad. 3 games played, 4 goals, 1 assist, plus 4, 2 power play points, 7 shots on goal, and 2 blocks. I totally understand why he's getting picked up. I'm just not buying it. Once Forsberg comes back, he'll go down in the pecking order. And yeah, I'm not buying that one. Yanni Gourde.
I personally like Fiala. I think I would buy on him if I had room for him. Even with Forsberg back, his line's not going to change. It's just a matter of if he gets moved off the top power play, which I don't think he will. I think he's going to be there with Forsberg.
We'll see. I don't know. I think that if you're in a deep league, he's worth it. But anything past that, it's a big question mark for me. Next up, Yanni Gourde. 3 games played, 2 goals, 3 assists, plus 5, 5 PIMs, 2 power play points, 6 shots on goal, 1 hit, and 15 minutes and 59 seconds of average time on ice. I like Yanni Gourde. I just don't think that those points are sustainable at all, especially with only 6 shots on goal, having 2 goals. That's not exactly sustainable, in my opinion. Tampa in general is relying on a lot of random guys for whatever reason. It's Alex Killorn, Matthew Pekka, and Yanni Gourde who've been carrying them, so that's all weirdness. And lastly here on the Maple Leafs, Zach Hyman, who's getting picked up quite a bit. 4 games played, 2 goals, 2 assists, plus 4, 8 PIMs, 10 shots on goal, 1 hit, 1 block, and 15 minutes and 37 seconds of average time on ice. That time on ice is way too low for me, I think, to be a point-per-game guy. The shots on goal are low. Oh, well, they're a little low. They're about above 2 shots a game. So, and he has no hits or blocks. So if you're in a bangers league, he's definitely not worth it. In a points league, maybe worth it while he's hot, but those points are just way too high. They'll come down.
I wouldn't trust Hyman ever. He's not a points guy.
Nope.
He's a role player, even on that top line. Okay, for me, Alex Killorn first up. 3 games played, 3 goals, 3 assists. He had that 5-point game that we were all stunned by. Plus 6, 7 shots, 1 power play point, 8 hits, and 2 blocks. He's been moved up to the top power play, which is interesting, but I don't think it really matters that much. He's been there on and off for the whole season, so... don't buy Killorn. It was a one-off. That, like we've mentioned, that weird line is doing a lot of things right now.
Yep.
It's not going to last. Next up, here's a guy that's been picked up quite a bit, Ryan Strome. Oh, my God.
Strome. I did not expect that one.
It's probably because of Roto World. They said, like, he's worth fantasy consideration now, which... Okay. 2 games played. He had 3 assists, a minus 1, 2 PIMs, 4 shots, 2 power play points, and 1 hit. He plays a third line with Patrick Maroon, the slowest man in the world, and Drake Coghuila, who I actually kind of like. The thing is, in the last game, they double shifted him for some reason on power play lines. He played literally the entire power play. He was 100% on for every power play they had for some reason. I don't think that will be the case going forward. He's not even listed on the top power play for practice lines, so don't pick up Ryan Strome. I promise you it's going to end poorly. Next up here, Jake Gardner, a player I have as I picked him up to replace Riley while he was out, and now I can't drop him. It feels weird. I know he's going to slow down, but I can't just do it in the middle of a hot streak. So anyway, 4 games played. He had 4 assists, plus 4, 4 PIMs, 10 shots, 2 hits, and 5 blocks. The 10 shots in 4 games are actually very good for Jake Gardner. He's typically a 2 or less shot a game guy. So I'll take that while I can get it. His peripherals are usually in general pretty garbage, so just bear that in mind. He still posted up a 3 assist game with Riley back, which staggered me, honestly. I figured it was going to go right back to Riley, but it seems they're like kind of slowly weaning Riley back into ice time. He's playing sub 20 minute games, so that'll change eventually. Gardner's ice time has already gone down a little bit since Riley came back, so I call him unsustainably high, but I can't tell you for sure that this week will be the week he drops off, and as a result I'm not even going to drop him yet. But just obviously he's not going to keep going point per game, which he has over the past like 2 weeks.
Yep, exactly. And can we go back real quick to that slowest man on the earth thing about Patrick Maroon? Is it Patrick Maroon or is it Andrew Ladd?
That's it's the Patrick real Maroon. Question. It's definitely Patrick. It's or Milan Lucic, possibly.
Or Lucic. I think Lucic is faster than both of them.
That could be.
How sad is that? You have Patrick Maroon and Milan Lucic swapping places on that top line next to McDavid.
Yep.
Hey, McDavid, fastest skater in the world. You want Milan Lucic or Patrick Maroon on your wing? Yeah, let's slow you down a little bit.
Yeah. Yep.
They're such a mess. For unsustainably low guys, I'll start with Anders Lee, who has 27 goals on the season and has gone goalless, and I think it's around like 8 games now. 3 games played, 1 assist, a -3, 1 power play point, 8 shots on goal, 2 hits, and 3 blocks. Now, he's already shooting at 20% on the season, even with this goalless drought. So he was due for some sort of a correction, and that's somewhat happening right now. Now, he's down to the line with Barzal and Eberle, which I actually really like for him, so I'm pretty excited to see what he does with that. But I just think he's unsustainably low. I wouldn't freak out with him too much. And next up, Seth Jones, 3 games played, 2 PIMs, 13 shots on goal, 8 hits, and 5 blocks. I like Seth Jones a lot, and I think right now the Blue Jackets in general are just way too... I don't know what they're doing. I think they're unsustainably low. Personally, and that's why also Sergei Bobrovsky is on this list at 2 games played, a .307 goals against average, and .892 save percentage. I just think in general right now the Jackets are unsustainably low and they're going to turn it around soon. And at that point, we're all going to wish we had kept our Blue Jackets. I think that'll happen, but we'll see.
Yeah. All right. For me, Joe Pavelski, 4 games played, 1 assist, +1, 10 shots, 1 power play point, 6 hits, and 2 blocks. Unfortunately, with Thornton out, they've been like grinding his lines like mid game. He played significant time with 3 different line mates, or rather 3 different lines essentially in their last game. The only consistency they have over there is LeBanc, Couture, and Hurdle, which is about as good a line as they can make at the moment, which is kind of a shame. I assume it's going to be Meyer on the left wing for Pavelski and man, I don't even know, Donskoy or something on the right.
Sounds right.
Wait, is Donskoy is on the Sharks and not the Blues, right?
Yes.
Who's the Blues guy? Oh, Yaskin. Never mind. I'm thinking of Yaskin. Yes. Okay. Yeah, so he needs consistent line mates. He's still playing top power play. This could be frustrating for a little bit longer, but they'll sort it out sooner than later. Next up, Anthony Mantha. 4 games played. No points, 10 shots, and 11 hits. So good in bangers leagues. Not great shot production, but not horrible either. He's playing on Detroit's arguably best line with Nyquist and Zetterberg, which still isn't great, but there it is. He's playing top power play, good minutes, but even if he does turn around a little bit, he's probably still only really worth it in like deeper leagues, probably 12 at least, just because Detroit is, I don't know. They don't really have much going for them at the moment. And then lastly here, Bo Horvat. 3 games played, 1 goal, 2 PIMs, 9 shots, 1 hit. So that's 3 shots a game. That's what you want to see. Top line, top power play. They reunited the Bearsheep-Horvat Besser line. I think that has good potential for the rest of the season, as it was clicking pretty well before everybody got injured. So I see good things for Horvat. I would expect mid-50s point pace rest of the season or so. So if that is good enough, then pick him up.
Yeah, I like Horvat a lot. I'm not going to pick him up anytime soon, but I do like him a lot, especially if you're in a very deep league. That's a very good option of someone who might be on the wire. Moving on to the sustainably high guys. This is the second week of this new segment. I'll start with Ryan Spooner, who I actually own in one of my leagues, in my ESPN league. He's 8% on Yahoo, 13.1% on ESPN. He's a point per game over his last 3, so 3 games played, 3 assists, a +2, 2 PIMs, 1 power play point, 6 shots on goal, and 3 hits. He's getting 17 minutes and 13 seconds of average time on ice, so he's on the second line, second power play. I like Ryan Spooner a lot on Boston, and Boston has been just so good and so deep that I'm a big fan of him. Also, when I saw them live, he looked very, very good, passed the eye test. I'm a big believer in Ryan Spooner. I think I first mentioned him a few weeks ago, and I've held on to him since I mentioned him that long ago. I'm a big fan. The next one we disagree on, I think, completely. Nolan Patrick, 7% on Yahoo, 9.9% on ESPN. I'm a huge believer in him because of the line, the even strength line he's on. And so far, that has rung true because since getting called up, so now these stats are actually, I think, since he got called up to that second line, he's 4 games played, 2 goals, 2 assists, a +3, 8 PIMs, 11 shots on goal, 3 hits, and 1 block. He's playing with Simmons and Voracek on that second line. I really like that.
Voracek is on that line?
Yeah.
Wow. That might change things a little bit.
Yeah, because the top line is Giroux, Konechny, and Couturier. So that's why
maybe I don't disagree anymore.
Yeah, because of that line, I think, and it's been clicking. Like, Wayne Simmons has been killing it ever since this happened. So it's interesting. What a shocker that Simmons and Voracek get better, or at least Simmons, when you don't have Filppulas and you're in your line.
Yeah, the second power play line is
Yeah, that thing's garbage. But
Jordan Wheel, Nolan Patrick, Yuri Laterra, Konechny, and Provorov. Okay, I like three of the players, I guess, but Laterra and Wheel, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but just because of even strength, I'm a big fan of Nolan Patrick there. Next, the last one here, someone who finally makes it to this list, Matt Duchene. He is worth picking up again. 40% on Yahoo, 40% on ESPN. He's 4 games played, 2 goals, 3 assists, 2 power play points, 12 shots on goal, 2 hits, and 3 blocks. If you go back to his last 14 games, he is a point-per-game player. So the guy has gotten hot, and he's finally starting to click, and I think he might be worth picking up finally. Now, the one thing I will say here is that the Sens are going to be sellers, and we don't know how that's going to affect the Senators and potentially Matt Duchene's line mates. So take that into account if you do pick him up, that he could be getting worse line mates here going forward. So just a note that you don't know what's going to happen. I don't think it'll affect Duchene too much, but it could.
So, yeah.
Something to keep in mind.
All right. For me, Corey Perry, my first call. 4 games played, 2 goals, 4 assists, +1, 12 PIMs, 13 shots on goal, 2 power play points, 2 hits, and 2 blocks. I was very close to dropping Perry as they kept him on that fourth line, top power play stuff. And even when he did have his time on the top line, he was pretty mediocre. I just hoped I could keep him because he's very good for PIMS leagues. And it looks like he's sorted things out. Obviously, like, a 4-point night is super inflated, but he and Getzlaf have been working quite well together. He actually had another power play goal that was either overturned or rearranged to be a Raquel goal or something. I think it was overturned, and then they just scored again. I should probably watch the replay on that. But then he wound up with another power play goal later in the game. So he's looks to be turning it on. He could be, well, you could try to buy him low at the moment. If the owner thinks that this is just going to be like a flash in the pan, I don't know. They also don't forget that the Ducks have an amazing semis and finals week in Yahoo. So the fact that I have Getzlaf and Perry on my team, and mostly due to that, I don't have to bench anybody on my semis or finals weeks. It's insane. I'm pretty much just going to dominate just because I have that. So yeah, bear that in mind. He gets a little bit of an edge for that. So does Getzlaf, but good luck with him. Yep. Next up, Jeff Petrie, 28% owned on Yahoo. 3 games played, 3 power play goals, 12 shots, +1, 4 hits, and 10 blocks. We've been talking about this guy since Weber went out. I picked him up on December 18th. And in our no blocks, no plus minus league, bangers league, that is, he is 18th in overall stats over the last month. So if you're sleeping on a player that's that good, that is almost certainly on your waiver wire at 28% owned. And the 28 is pretty recent. He was 20 or below for weeks.
Yeah.
Until Weber comes back. Once Weber comes back, it's like I imagine he's going to go right back to being almost completely irrelevant.
I mean, he might be traded, honestly.
That's true. I would love for the Islanders to trade for him. But he's going to wind up back on the second power play at best. And as we just mentioned, he gets a lot of his points on the power play, which all good fantasy defensemen tend to. Yep. Speaking of fantasy defensemen and power play points, Cam Fowler, 52% owned on Yahoo at the moment, 4 games played, 4 assists, 2 PIMs, 9 shots, relatively low, but that's what you get out of Cam Fowler, 2 power play points and 3 blocks. His peripherals are never really there, but I've always been a fan of him for points. I think if they allow him to consistently play top power play and he doesn't get hurt, he should be about a 50-point a season guy, which is a good third or fourth defenseman on a fantasy roster, because he's going to get a good amount of power play points too, which are hard to come by.
Yep. I actually picked up Petrie November 22nd. I was looking at that today, and then I dropped him.
Yeah, because Weber came back, and you dropped him. Yep. I think that's what happened. Weber came back, and then he went back out, and then I picked him up.
Yep. So. And then I did that in another league too. I picked him up in both my leagues, and in both of them he got picked up, and now he's killing it. I'm a little bit salty about that, especially since, like you say, I have the worst defensive core in the league. So there's that.
pretty undeniably.
I have what? It's Doughty, Edler, and Borjeski.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. You only have three for the first, like, that's the first problem, is there's only three, and two of them are like. Two of them are like fourth or fifth defensemen.
Oh my God. My defense is so bad. At least my offense is killer, though. So there's that, until I have to bench everybody. So for sustainably low guys, I actually listened to one of these. Vladislav Namestnikov, I think he's droppable at this point. He's around 86% owned on both sites. And he has 3 games played, -3, 6 PIMs, 2 shots on goal, and 2 hits. What's frustrating me about Namestnikov and finally made me drop him is those peripherals. He's just not doing anything. And honestly, this was the thing at the beginning of the season too, where he just didn't get any peripherals. He doesn't hit. He doesn't shoot. The only thing he's good for is power play points and points. If he's not getting those, it doesn't matter. And he's now down to the second line. I think he's still in the top power play, but who knows? He could lose that. And I'm just done waiting for him. Like, at this point, if someone wants to pick him up and risk it, fine. I dropped him for Dadonov. Like, I'd rather have someone who's a lock for top power play, top line, than having Namestnikov who's getting shuffled all around and doesn't get any peripherals. It's not even worth it. I'd rather have Dadonov get no points and 3 shots on goal than have Namestnikov just wait for when he gets fed by the spoon from Kucherov and Stamkos. Next up, Jonathan Drouin. 3 games played, -1, 2 shots on goal, 2 hits, and 4 blocks. Now, all that is bad. It's all very, very bad. Yep. Terrible peripherals, but it gets even worse because his ice time is down to 13 minutes and 22 seconds. That's terrible. He's pretty much Galchenyuk 2.0. Montreal destroys another center yet again. Like, I can't wait till they pick up or trade for John Tavares, because that's probably going to happen in my eyes. You know what they're going to do? They're going to put him on the wing. They're going to move him out to the wing. That's what they're going to do, because Bergevin does that. Drouin is totally droppable at this point. He's way too highly owned. Now, the next guy who is way, way too highly owned for the situation he's in right now is Milan Lucic. He's at 81% on ESPN, and just around that, I think, on Yahoo. 2 games played, -1, 4 shots on goal, and 4 hits. Now, fine, those peripherals aren't terrible through 2 games. Whatever, I guess. But it's now been almost, I think, 8 or so games where he's at around 15 to 16 minutes of average time on ice. Like, why is he still 81% owned? Are you holding on to that glimmer of hope that he gets moved up to the top line? I mean, that might happen, actually, if Maroon gets traded, but it's just...
Maroon's not even on the top line right now.
Yeah, there you go. So you see, like, Lucic is 100% droppable at this point, in my opinion. I dropped him a long time ago.
Camilleri's on the top line.
It's just not worth it.
What is going on in Edmonton?
Camilleri's on the top line, and McDavid is finally producing. He got a 5-point night the other night.
Jeez.
It's absurd. How about you take us into yours? You have some big names, too.
Yeah, Brandon Saad, pretty easily droppable at this point. 3 games played, -2, 5 shots, 2 blocks, 11:47 time on ice. Wow. Yeah, bad. Yeah. I wouldn't wait anymore. Yeah. Next up, Zach Werenski. Now, I don't necessarily say he's droppable, but I don't think you should expect a whole lot more out of him at this point. 3 games played, -2, 8 shots, 3 hits, and 3 blocks. Shot production's nice. Actually, most of the peripherals are pretty decent, but he is getting a good amount of minutes. But Seth Jones has clearly taken over the star offensive defenseman role, taking over the top power play, leaving Werenski on the second even worse power play. And that's on a power play that's 14% successful on the season. I think it's second worst. It might even be the worst in the NHL at this point.
Maybe.
It's either them or the Oilers. I can actually check right now because I've got the Oilers up. The Oilers are at 15%, so it is the Blue Jackets, worst in the league.
Congratulations, Blue Jackets.
Yeah. Okay, next up, Tyler Myers. 3 games played, no points, 2 pims, 6 shots, 7 hits, and 2 blocks. He was playing over his head for a while, and then with Bufflin out, he didn't get top power play because they gave it to Trouba, but they were playing his power play unit a lot more than they were previously. They're not really doing that anymore. Bufflin hasn't been amazing himself, but he's been better than Myers. And you can keep Myers, but don't expect somebody that's gonna give you more than a point every other game. So if that's good enough, I mean that to me is replaceable by any hot player. So I'm not really interested in Myers, but I can see where that would be useful, especially if you're the type of player that doesn't want to look at, you know, line changes every single day. He'll consistently get you, you know, a point every other game or so.
Yep. And then moving on to our picks for tonight, I'll start with my top overall picks, which are Anton Khudobin at the Rangers, because honestly, the Rangers are garbage and super, super injured. Next up, Connor McDavid at the Kings, along with Leon Draisaitl. Draisaitl is actually extremely cheap. He's only $6,300 on DraftKings, which I was kind of shocked by. So you might be able to get away with a semblance of an Edmonton stack. So
Camilleri.
There you go. You got Camilleri. You can take Camilleri, Draisaitl, and McDavid probably.
Camilleri's probably like no money.
Yeah, and Talbot can't be very expensive either.
I also think it's kind of funny that I just said Tyler Myers is consistently give you a point every other game when he went 3 without a point, at least. But whatever. I don't necessarily mean that every week you're going to get a point every other game. I just mean like he's going to give you that ratio or so. Okay. Patrice Bergeron and David Pastrnak both at the Rangers would be my top two. I would love that a lot more if Marchand was around, but whatever. And then I'm going to take the risk here and take Jonathan Quick, who has not been playing great, and Edmonton has been playing great, but it's just a gut feeling. I'm going with a gut on this one. I like Quick tonight, and I don't have any explanation why, so don't listen to me. All right, next up here, I'm going to go right into my value picks as they kind of tie in with Danton Heinen, who I think we agree on at the Rangers, playing top line, top power play with Marchand out, pretty much a guaranteed lock cheap option. Probably one of the chalkiest picks on DFS sites, I would assume, due to his value. Then I got two Toronto Maple Leafs players here, Morgan Riley versus Nashville and Nazem Kadri versus Nashville. I think they're both great value for tonight.
I like those picks a lot, especially the Morgan Riley pick. It's sneaky because he should be getting the points, but DraftKings and FanDuel haven't really reflected that on his price yet. For me, I know I said the Rangers suck, but there is an interesting option in JT Miller, who is so cheap, and he's actually listed on the second line on RotoWire and on both DraftKings and FanDuel and Fantasy Draft, but he's actually top line, top power play. He's taken over that spot from, Buchnevich was out, and then Jimmy Vesey had the top spot, and then he got injured, and so now it's JT Miller who gets the call. So I like him a lot. And then I also like Danton Heinen at the Rangers, just because he's taken over that Bergeron spot. So he's on the top line. He's extremely
Marchand spot.
Oh, the Marchand spot, sorry, yep. And then the last guy here is Tyler Toffoli, who's been quiet. He got an assist last game, but he's top line, top power play now. So he's with Kopitar. We'll see how that goes. He's pretty much taken, Brown gets moved down to the second line, and they're moving Tyler Toffoli up to the top line. So we'll see what he can do with that. I hope he can produce. The dream is that eventually, when Jeff Carter comes back, it's Carter, Toffoli, and Kopitar. That would be the dream.
Yep.
We'll see if that happens.
Well, it's not going to be that, because they're not going to put Kopitar and Carter on the same line.
No.
It's going to be... they're probably going to go back with that 70s line and be Pearson, probably. Carter, probably. Toffoli, I would think.
Yeah, we'll see.
Which is fine. That line worked pretty well for a while.
Yeah, if it works... I'm all for it. Whatever gets Toffoli to do anything so that I don't hate myself over choosing him instead of Raquel.
You still should.
I still do, and I should the entire rest of the season. Okay, and that's our show. We will see you on Friday for the weekend review episode, and that's about it. Thanks for listening.
Yep, thanks for listening.